In today's gospel, Christ uses the word reveal two times, so I wanted to focus in on the significance of that word. He says, "You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little ones." And he said, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone the Son reveals him to." So there's a lot of importance in that single word, revelation. You know, and it goes to the very origin of where our faith comes from, and the fact that our faith is not something that is a human invention. It's not like we got a whole bunch of smart people together in a room a few thousand years ago and sat down and said, "Okay, what do we know about God? Is he angry or loving? Is he patient or quick to anger?" You know, it's not like they just sat down and came up with a code of moral teachings to live by, or came up with seven sacraments in order to give grace. You know, our faith didn't come about that way. Our faith came about by God appearing to human beings and revealing to us the proper faith and teachings and beliefs about him. And so our faith is not of human origin, it's of divine origin. In the beginning, through the Old Testament, with individuals like Abraham and Moses and through the prophets, God gradually revealed himself to us. And then the fullness of revelation came through Jesus Christ, when God actually entered human history as a human being. Revelation is passed on to us in two ways: what was written down and passed on, and what was passed on orally. What was written down, we call Scripture, find it in the Bible. And what was passed on orally comes to us through the apostolic tradition, what's been handed on through the church. So does this matter? Well, yes, this matters. It's a big deal, and it has a lot of implications on our faith in terms of the origin and where it comes from. The fact that it's of divine origin is important, because if it was of human origin, then our faith could be wrong. You know, no human being is going to be right about everything. And if human beings sat down to come up with a faith, chances are some things would be right and some things would be wrong. And so there would be no way that we could have absolute confidence in anything that we believe. And anything that you believe might be better than anything I believe, because it's all of human origin. So what's to say one person has any better grasp of God than anyone else? But if our faith is of divine origin, then we can place our complete and total trust and faith in it with the level of trust that we trust God himself. You know, what it ultimately comes down to is the question of whether Jesus Christ is God or not. If Jesus Christ is God, then we can put our complete and total faith in everything that he teaches us because he's God. Another implication: if our faith is rooted in God and his revelation, that means our faith is unchanging, because God doesn't change and truth doesn't change. You know, if God is a Trinity a million years ago, he's going to be a Trinity a million years in the future. That's not going to change. You know, morality: if it's a sin to steal 1,000 years ago, it's going to be a sin to steal today and 1,000 years in the future. So morality and our teachings and the core beliefs of our faith are unchanging, because they're rooted in God himself. And no one has the authority to change official teaching because of its source. Not even the Pope has the authority to change any of our core beliefs as Catholics, because he cannot trump Jesus Christ, who founded our church. I think there's a lot of confusion in recent years, especially surrounding Pope Francis and some of the things that he's said. And it's exacerbated a lot by the media, who has their own agenda, and they like to distort and fabricate and pull things out of context, sometimes twisting them so much that it has nothing to do with what the Pope actually even said. But what it's causing is a lot of people to wonder within the church, is our faith changing? You know, are our beliefs changing? And if they are changing, does that mean that it was wrong to begin with? But the reality is that Pope Francis has not changed any of the official teachings of the church. He has not, he will not, and he cannot change official church teaching. The Pope's job is to be the guardian of the faith and to make sure that it's passed on uncorrupted from generation to generation. The Pope cannot change official teaching of the church. And what we mean by official teachings are those that come from Christ, handed on by the apostles and guaranteed to be true under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the infallible teachings of the church. Now, what Pope Francis has changed is he's definitely encouraged a different approach to ministry. You know, how do we go about proclaiming the gospel in the modern world? And how do we go about reaching all the people who are alienated from the church? And how do we go about reaching out to families that are broken and people who are in irregular marriage situations? How do we go about proclaiming the gospel to them and guiding them into the church and into the fullness of truth? You know, the approach to ministry can definitely change. And Pope Francis has a very different approach. But the official teachings of the church are not changing at all. And so the definition of marriage, in particular the indissolubility of marriage, the institution of the priesthood, these teachings of the church are not changing. And so we can have a confidence that they are not and will not change. I think there's also a tendency among people in our culture today to want to come up with their own truth. And we see that outside of the church, you know, with different Protestant denominations, you have individuals that simply come up with their own faith and they start their own church with their own belief system. And we see that within the church. We have Catholics who will kind of develop their own belief system and they'll look at the teachings of the church and they'll sort through them and pick and choose which ones they do and which ones they don't want to believe. But the reality is, we can't make truth ourselves. We're not the arbiters of truth. We can't determine who God is or what proper morality is. That's above human beings. It's our job to conform ourselves to the truth, not to make up our own truth. And in Revelation, our faith comes from God Himself. And so it's our responsibility to conform ourselves to that truth and not to come up with our own set of truths. Now, I was once in a Protestant Bible study, and what a certain group of them were teaching is that every individual under the influence of the Holy Spirit can come to the fullness of truth. If we're simply open to the will of God, we don't need a church, we don't need any authority beyond ourselves. Simply by following the Holy Spirit, we can come to the fullness of truth ourselves. But the reality is, if we look at the Protestant denominations in the world today, they're splintering, and they continue to splinter at a faster and faster rate to the point where there are tens of thousands of different Protestant denominations, and they have dispute after dispute after dispute, and they never come to unity in their faith. Just greater and greater division. Because the reality is, they're not coming to the fullness of the truth. And many of them are very sincere, and they're trying to follow the will of God, but yet they're not coming to the fullness of truth, because infallibility is not a gift that God gives to every individual in the world. Every individual is not infallible. That's a gift that He's given to the church. So to find the fullness of truth, we have to look for it within the Catholic Church. And that's why St. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, says that the church is the pillar and bulwark of truth, not the individual. And so, and as we reflect on today's readings, when Christ talks about Revelation, He says He has revealed these things not to the wise and the learned, but to little ones. It's important for us to have humility when we approach Christ, not going to our Lord and saying, I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong, but accepting the truth that comes from Christ in its fullness, the fullness of revelation. That takes a lot of humility on our part, but that is the path to our Father in heaven. If we approach the Lord and accept what He teaches us with humility, then the Son will reveal to us His heavenly Father. And so we pray today for the humility to accept revelation, the fullness of truth, which Jesus Christ passes on to us through His church, through Scripture, and through tradition.